Today, the United Nations appealed for more than $100 million to help the people of Haiti. The Caribbean country has been slammed by four major storms in the past 3 weeks. As Haitians struggled to recover from Tropical Storm Fay last month, they were hit by Gustav, then Hannah, and most recently Ike. The storms have left hundreds of people dead and estimated 1 million homeless. Many parts of the country are still underwater. Paul Farmer went to some of the hardest-hit areas over the weekend. Farmer is co-founder of the group Partners in Health. He has treated Haitians with HIV for more than 20 years. He says he was unprepared, though, for the kind of devastation that he saw in Gonaïves after the storms.
I've seen a lot of pain of individuals and families affected by terrible things. I've seen a lot of political violence and a lot of loss and death in Haiti. But to go into a city several days after flooding begins and see everyone still on their roofs or wading through the streets without the kind of assistance that they need and deserve was particularly painful. And I would add that if I have seen anything as painful as this, it was in the same city 4 years ago when 2,000 people perished after Tropical Storm Jean just brushed the north side of Haiti. And to see that kind of collective pain and also to know that we needed to move more quickly and still need to move more quickly, I think it's very difficult for a doctor or anyone who cares about relieving human suffering to see that.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, we're hearing about how these hurricanes have hit Cuba, have hit several other areas. We know, obviously, what happened in Katrina. But when a place like Haiti, which is so impoverished anyway, has these situations and the inability to respond immediately, I think a lot of people listening will say, well, I mean, that's not so surprising. Why is that surprising to you? Why should it have happened any other way?
It's not surprising to me that Haiti can be hit by the same storm as, say, next door Cuba and have huge body count, whereas there'll be none in Cuba. That part I understand. What did surprise me, however, was that because there are so many relief organizations, that there wasn't more relief in evidence, at least at the beginning of the weekend. So that's what bothered me, and it certainly bothers the residents of that city and the rest of the flooded coastal areas, is that after days without food and water there, they're not only dehydrated and hungry, they're also upset, and some of them lost family members, obviously. But I think it's the worst thing of all is to feel that you're abandoned.
This, I assume, is the reason that you're calling this an unnatural disaster. In what way is this unnatural if it's a hurricane?
Well, all of the vulnerability to the bad effects of bad weather are really socially created. So deforestation, policies that undermine the ability to marshal a strong coordinated response, those are all social disasters. They're very much not related to the wrath of God, say, but to bad policies. And some of them have been completely outside of the Haitians' hands.
Well, the United States has airlifted supplies. It's pledged $10 million to the Haiti relief effort. Are you saying that that's not enough or that it's come too late?
I guess I'm saying both. It's not enough because we know how to link short-term relief efforts to these medium-term efforts to make these areas less vulnerable and strengthen the ability to respond. So it's not enough. We can do more. And for people who are displaced, and that may be a million people, you can do the math. That's not going to be enough to provide food, water, shelter, medical supplies to that many displaced people.
If you had the ear of the humanitarian community right now and the president, in fact, right now in the United States, what would you say? Because I think that there can be an assumption, at least on the part of lay people, that this is the kind of thing that will happen every hurricane season. A country as impoverished as Haiti is, with the kind of deforestation that has happened in Haiti, is going to be vulnerable no matter how much relief aid comes in.
Well, if I had the ear of those people, I would say, first of all, let's make this a much more ambitious relief effort. Let's not, for example, turn away a helicopter because there's not an adequate landing area, or let's not warehouse food because we're worried about crowd control. All those mistakes have been made in the past. The second thing I'd say is, the short and medium term are going to be rebuilding infrastructure that's damaged, thinking about housing assistance, and starting to plant trees. But the trees will be cut down or will perish without alternative fuel supplies for people living in poverty in rural Haiti. That's why they're cutting down the trees now, is just to make it through the day to cook their food. And so we need to have a very ambitious medium and long-term effort. And then finally, I'd say, look, call me old-fashioned, but we should support democracy in Haiti and avoid undermining it in any way, because one of the reasons that the institutions are so weak in Haiti is because they've gone through so much political tumult over the last couple of decades, and there is now a new government, and supporting rather than undermining that is, I think, very critical to the success of both the short-term, medium, and longer-term attempts to make Haiti less vulnerable.
All right, thank you. Dr. Paul Farmer, co-founder of Partners in Health. He has just returned from Haiti and is now at his office in Boston. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Lisa.